A proposed expansion of a section of I-94 in Milwaukee is now facing a federal civil rights review. It's Thursday, January 11th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, conservative activists have filed a recall petition against Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. And Corrine Hess has the latest on a bill that would finance the redevelopment of empty buildings impacted by the closures of universities of Wisconsin System Branch campuses. Stay with us.
Agriculture, healthcare, education, you know what's going on in Wisconsin thanks to the Wisconsin Today podcast. And thanks to you, these stories are available to Wisconsinites everywhere. Give now at wpr.org/givewitoday.
A proposed interstate expansion in Milwaukee is facing a federal civil rights review. As Evan Casey explains, that's led opponents of the project to push for its pause.
The Wisconsin Department of Transportation is calling for a $1.2 billion expansion of a 3.5-mile section of I-94 in Milwaukee. Some environmental and civil rights groups oppose it. They say it could make air pollution worse in the area. Several of those groups submitted a civil rights complaint to the Federal Highway Administration last year. Attorney Dennis Krasinski says a majority of the residents who live next to the project are people of color.
And who's it going to impact? Not the folks trying to get to downtown during rush hour from richer, whiter neighborhoods and communities, but the folks who live in and around the center city.
A spokesperson for the state DOT says they're cooperating with the review. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A Republican bill would require local governments within 100 miles to be notified about proposed refugee resettlement plans. The legislation would require public hearings on resettlement plans, along with local resolutions of support or opposition. The move comes as the nonprofit group World Relief is planning to bring 75 refugees to Eau Claire. City Manager Stephanie Hirsch says she notified members of the city council months ago.
I don't think we can set up a separate process for people who are here legally just because they are a different religion or a different ethnicity. Comments I've heard from people are really articulating that point of view, that they are afraid that somebody of a different religion will come and disrupt what's happening in Eau Claire.
The resettlement plan has drawn strong opinions, with a billboard in the city claiming tax dollars are being used to, quote, traffic Somali refugees. The group World Relief did not immediately respond to a request for comment on the legislation. Conservative activists have filed a petition to recall Assembly Speaker Robin Voss from office. The complaint alleges that Voss, a Republican from Rochester, is, quote, blocking fair elections. It also cites Voss's previous statements opposing the re-election of former President Donald Trump. Voss ordered an investigation into Trump's unfounded accusations of widespread voter fraud in the 2020 election. He eventually ended the investigation, calling the person who led it an embarrassment. Trump allies later endorsed Voss's primary opponent for re-election. In a statement, Voss called the recall effort, quote, a waste of time, resources, and effort. The recall petition will need to garner about 7,000 signatures to force an election. The closures of universities of Wisconsin's System Branch campuses will leave empty buildings and hundreds of unused acres of land in three counties. Corrine Hess reports a proposed bill would give those communities $2 million to redevelop the sites.
In-person classes will end at UW-Milwaukee at Washington County and UW-Oshkosh Fond du Lac in June. UW-Platteville at Richland has been without students since May 2023. Fond du Lac County Executive Sam Kaufman says he's not surprised his community's campus is closing. Enrollment went from a high 50 years ago of 1,000 students to less than 250 students this year.
But for the counties now to go on through and to renovate and make changes to adapt will require a substantial amount of money. $2 million to me is really going to be a drop in the bucket in the end.
Lawmakers want to set aside a total of $12 million for possible campus closures in the future. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, the Green Bay Packers are playing in the NFL playoffs this weekend. In just a few minutes, I'll be chatting with ESPN reporter Rob Domofsky on how they got here and how they could do against the Cowboys. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
The Green Bay Packers are set to make their playoff appearance, and joining us to discuss is Rob Domofsky of ESPN. Rob, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Alex.
Let's start on the offensive side of the football, because Jordan Love has really been a success story for the Packers in his first full season as a starter. What are some of the things you've seen from him so far this year that put the Packers in this position to make the playoffs?
Yeah, it's really the past couple of months more than the whole year, because early in the year, he struggled, quite frankly. They didn't win a game in the month of October. They had trouble scoring points. But somewhere around week 10 or 11, you could just tell that he became more comfortable with this team. Matt LaFleur became more comfortable with him as quarterback. And look, they have the youngest team in the league, and it's young at the receiver position. So it's not surprising that maybe it took a little bit of time. But the more you saw Jordan Love play, and not that I'm comparing him to Aaron Rodgers, but you started to see some things in his mannerisms and the way he went about things that sort of reminded you of Aaron Rodgers. And certainly late in the year, he turned into, you know, maybe the best quarterback in the league over the last 8 weeks of the season. He had 18 touchdowns and one interception from week 11 on.
On the defensive side of the ball, just before the Bears game, the defense looked like it was on a downslide. There were calls for Joe Barry, the defensive coordinator, to be fired. And then all it took was a game against the Bears for that defense to get right again. What are we expecting from the defensive unit as they go ahead to take on the Cowboys?
Yeah, and the calls for Joe Barry to be fired have not exactly gone away, Alex. I think it's going to take a pretty deep playoff run for him to be back as coordinator next year. But in the meantime, they're going forward with what they have. And, you know, what they have is an up-and-down unit that's got some pretty good individual talent but has struggled to put it all together. And now you're going down to Dallas to play possibly one of the most explosive offenses in the NFL. So the challenge for this defense is as big as it's been all year. They have really gotten fortunate in some games where they've played, you know, some lesser quarterbacks. Like when they played the Rams, Matthew Stafford did not play. You know, when they played the Vikings the second time around, obviously they played two different quarterbacks, neither of which was really effective. So they've really kind of, when they have played well, it's been against lesser quarterbacks or teams that have struggled offensively like the Bears have.
As we look specifically at the Cowboys on the offensive side of the ball, man, they have a lot of weapons, particularly at the receiver position. You know, unit matchup-wise, are we looking at Cowboys receivers versus Packers DBs as the key to the game?
I think that's certainly one of them. I don't know how they stop or how anybody stops CeeDee Lamb, for that matter. And then they've got Michael Gallup and Brandon Cooks, who are certainly capable receivers, and then the tight end position. Wisconsin people will be familiar with Jake Ferguson, the former Badger, who has had a really fine year for the Cowboys at the tight end position. And the Packers, you know, that they have struggled more against the run this year than they have against the pass, but there have been plenty of games, the Tampa Bay game, for example, where they made Baker Mayfield, you know, look like a Hall of Famer, was certainly one of those games where they struggled against the pass. The Packers secondary has been sort of a revolving door all year. Jair Alexander is finally back. It looks like he's able to play. But they've had a ton of injuries in that secondary, and it's been hard. I don't know how they slow this offense down, quite honestly. And Dak Prescott is having probably his best season at quarterback.
You mentioned the youth of this team, and I've seen some stats floating around. They're one of the youngest teams to ever make the postseason in the NFL. Granted, it is an expanded postseason, but how have the Packers been able to step up this season? How have they been able to grow and mature and put themselves in this position to now be in the playoffs as such a young squad?
They don't have a single catch by a receiver who has more than 2 years of NFL experience, because they don't have a receiver who has more than 2 years of NFL experience. And when you look up and down that list of receivers, you know, you got to give credit to general manager Brian Gutekunst, who has taken a lot of heat for never using a first-round pick on a receiver. But they've managed to find guys in the second, third, fourth, fifth round. Jaden Reed as a second round pick has been as good a rookie receiver as the Packers have ever had. And that's right. I use the word ever. He broke Sterling Sharpe's rookie record for catches with 64. He tied for the rookie lead in the NFL in touchdown catches this year with 8. He also has 2 rushing touchdowns. And then you throw in a guy like Dontayvion Wicks, a fifth round pick, who might end up one day being their number one wide receiver. They've had some injury issues, but those young guys have really come together. And another one of those young guys, Bo Melton, a former practice squad guy who's had 2 really big games the last couple of weeks, kind of let slip last week that they have been going over to Jordan Love's house every Monday for a sort of dinner and a movie, but it's a football version of that because it's dinner and then they watch film as an offensive group. And things like that, you know, that teams and players do away from the facility, I think can go a long way. And I would suspect that that's at least a small part of why the Packers offense has been able to be successful.
The Mike McCarthy storyline is something the national media is talking about, but with how young this team is, not a lot of them really have any familiarity with the Mike McCarthy era Packers, but the fans do. Is that a storyline you're paying attention to at all going into this game?
No, certainly not as much last year, Alex, when Mike McCarthy came back to Green Bay. That was such a big storyline. And even Mike said this week that he did all that feel-good stuff last year, and this is about the playoffs. I think there's only 3 players on the Packers that are still left from the Mike McCarthy era, and one of those is David Bakhtiari, who is on injured reserve and won't play. I believe the other 2 are Kenny Clark and Jaire Alexander, if I'm not mistaken. So not a lot of connection. Matt LaFleur has mentioned a couple times already in the last couple days, you know, how much respect he has for not only what McCarthy did here in Green Bay, but also down in Dallas. So, you know, I think that's the extent of the storyline this week.
Rob Domofsky of ESPN helping us get ready for the Packers playoff matchup against the Dallas Cowboys this weekend. Thanks for joining us, Rob. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Alex.
And that'll do it for this Thursday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crowe, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. Hey, make sure you're watching the weather. Another major winter storm is expected to impact the state tomorrow. We'll keep you updated throughout the day on Wisconsin Public Radio. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again soon.